What I want to say is thanks so much for the opportunity to talk about what Jesus is doing, particularly in Peru. Amy and I have been, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that God has used this ministry of Johnny and Friends and Wheels for the World to be transforming and enriching in our lives. So we're going to give you some snapshots this morning. Thank you for the opportunity. And I echo Pastor David's remarks about knowing Glenn and Jeanette Fink. This church has been such a ministry to our family. Pastor Broersma does know the inside out and out of our house and our home, but just the faithfulness over the years, it's been great and it's been wonderful. And you know, you all have such a big opportunity in your location, right? In the war zone. We talk about other war zones in the world. Well, there's light here and there's a lot of darkness around. And it's much the same in Peru. They had the highest death rate of COVID in any place in the world. So our friends there that run this in-country ministry suffered from that as well. And they have a really high crime rate. So we see the faithfulness of our friends over there. They say that drug people will threaten the bus drivers, just the little cambio, the little vans and the kind of rundown buses, not the big metros. But they'll say, hey, give us some money or we're going to shoot you. And they don't have any money. So sure enough, the latest that I heard from our friend Josimar was that 100 bus drivers have been killed. So you see these buses now running all over Lima that are empty. So they're also light in a dark place, and that's the way Jesus has it for us. So we've been privileged with the help for 20 years now to go to Peru. Because there's been different locations. So we're going to jump into it here. Let's see if the clicker works. It works great. So Amy and I are volunteers with this ministry. We found out about Johnny and Friends, Wheels for the World, on a Thursday afternoon in April in 2006. Our daughter was home between college and finding out where she would go with the job, with the Peace Corps. I almost said Job Corps. But she ended up in Peru, so we thought, well, hey, here's an opportunity for us to go do this Wheels thing. Amy is a really big support person behind the scenes. For years and years and years, I've been teaching a Bible class, and, you know, they say golf widows on Saturday, the wives never see the husbands. Well, that's what I was, a Bible study guy, and she was a Bible study widow on Saturday. So I thought, well, this is something Amy can do and I can go and support her. And you think you're going to go over and somehow maybe help them. Well, what has happened is they've actually done more for us than we could ever do for them. God has used them to change our heart. So it's been very enriching and we appreciate it. So here I am. We go to the first introductory meeting at Paul and Debbie Fasiliak's. They're the original Johnny and Friends volunteers in New Mexico. Johnny Erickson Tata, in I think it was 1978, jumped in a pool of water. Actually, it was the Chesapeake Bay, and snapped her neck. She became a quadriplegic immediately. Very athletic, had done Young Life and very athletic family and so forth. Well, she was so depressed for the next couple of years that she said, I just can't do this. I can't live like this. So she asked her high school and college friends, help me, help me die. Help me kill myself. And they're like, we're not doing that. So in her struggle, she said, and this is one of the things that I think is really pivotal, God, if you're not going to let me die, then teach me how to live. And that was a big deal. And from there, she started reaching out and she started growing in Christ, and one thing led to another. Now she has, she's been the head of this ministry that goes all over the world. She herself is aging. She's been sick with chronic pain. She survived cancer a couple of times, broken bones, but she's constantly in pain. But in that suffering, she has something to say that many of us really don't have as much credibility to say. She says it from her own experience, how Jesus is everything to her. So when we get to this first meeting with Paul and Debbie Fasiliak, and they say, what do you want to do? Or what do you think, how could you help? And Amy checks the box. Well, I can do support, helping with fitting people for wheelchairs, with sewing seat belts and covers and delivering Bibles to them as they get finished with their wheelchairs being seated. And I say, great, I like teaching the Bible. And the next meeting, they say, great, you can be a wheelchair mechanic. And so my eyes got as big as saucers, and I said, okay, I'm here to help. So eventually what that led us to was not this particular church that is on the screen, but think of a stadium the first time with twice as many wheelchairs. There are about 400 wheelchairs. And so our job as mechanics is to have a therapist. We go with wheelchair mechanics, therapists, support people, translators now. We used to go with large teams, as many as 30. Now it's pared down to like 14 or 15. So when these people show up in a church like this, look at the far door here, the entryway. Out there is where the people wait. They get applications for wheelchairs, and they get all the information there. So on the day of the event, they sit out there and they wait to come in. And then each one is then put in this. This is actually their church. This is like clearing out all the chairs and putting all these wheelchairs on half of it. And then there's stations all around the area there. So anyway, I'm overwhelmed with all of this. And the first year, as a business guy, for 40 years, we ran a cleaning company. And so people would have budget times. So the idea was we expect to have this building cleaned in, say, an hour and a half. But if we're consistently cleaning the building at 1.8 hours, an hour and 48 minutes, I'm losing money. So over the 40 years, we figured out what the average would take. Well, on Monday afternoon, the first day that the mechanic is fitting wheelchairs, I'm like, oh, God, help me. It's 2 o'clock, and I've only done 2. I should be doing maybe 10 a day. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing the best job I can. And that's what led me to think about this particular passage. And what I want to do, the passage or the quote that came to my head was, well, when Jesus had a lot of people to feed, what was offered to him was 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And I thought to myself, God, help me here. We're all, the group is just offering ourselves, 2 fishes and 5 loaves for this great need. So to clear this out and put people in these wheelchairs, I thought was the goal, and I thought that was such a big deal. So at this point, I'd like, if you would, I want to transfer the things from this particular verse, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I want to just not just talk about our ministry to Peru, but also your ministry. Every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us has a sphere of influence. Every one of us has family and friends that God wants to use us to be light, either with lip or with life, to promote who he is. So I hope you'll find, as a result of the few remarks here in the next half hour or so, 40 minutes, So if you'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 6, verse 1, let me read that for us and get some context here, and there'll be a few questions we'll ask as we move along. Chapter 6, verse 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. This would be the third sign. So far, he's already turned water into wine and healed a guy. Verse 3, Jesus went up on the mountain. When he sat down with his disciples, now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we going to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to him, to Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip's actually the first guy recorded in Acts that did a pretty miraculous thing with the Ethiopian eunuch. So this is his first test that's recorded. Verse 6, he said this is a test, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" So he says, even almost a year's wages wouldn't do much to feed this crowd. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. So he took the loaves, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted, and when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So he gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So let me pray. Father, we pray that from the snapshot here, just from picking a few verses, we pray that you communicate to us. Thank you for what you're doing in this church and have done and continue to do. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing through Johnny and Franz, through United Hearts, through Corazones Unidos in Peru. Father, we pray that we could all be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so that gives you context for what I'm thinking and why I wanted to do this. So this is not a photograph of Jesus, but it's a rendering. I think it's a pretty good rendering. I do see something that's really incorrect with this diagram. If you look here, this boy has fish. From what I understand, the fish actually are sardines. They're little boogers. They're little things. They're not those big fat fish. So large crowd, small amount to eat. What are we going to do? So the mind of Philip just starts turning. Well, we don't have enough. We don't have much money. So what I've got here are some questions. But before we get to the questions, what is the? I know this is a church that is well taught, year after year, month after month. So I'm sure that you can answer this question. So, here's the question. What is the purpose of the Gospel of John?
Those who can believe and have eternal
brother, you get the extra donut today? Because that's exactly right. The purpose of John is, it tells us here in John 20, verses 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book, but those were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life. So if we look back at chapter 6, in chapter 4 and 5, it talks about signs, bearing witness, and then later in 6, it emphasizes life. So, I have four questions. Why did Jesus ask Philip the question? Let's look at that question again. Verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. It says, lifting up his eyes then and seeing a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we going to buy bread so that these people may... He kind of set him up. Verse 6, then he said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So he set him up. He's training his disciples. His disciples have been with him and see him doing these signs. And he says, what are we going to do? Well, they've already seen him turn the water into wine and then heal. The second sign was healing a guy on the Sabbath. And even in the context of chapter 6, he's continuing to do signs. So what did they miss? They've been with Jesus now for maybe a year and a half. He had a three and a half year ministry. This is like a year before his death. So it's been probably 6 months to a year that they've seen Jesus doing stuff. Then really the timelines are a little foggy, depending on who you read. But what did they miss? What's Jesus pointing to? They came to the right conclusion after Jesus gave them fishes and bread. So what did Philip miss? Okay. Do you hear what Denise said? The fact that Jesus was there, the fact that Jesus himself provides. When I go back to looking at all those overwhelming wheelchairs, I'm thinking, oh, gee, you know, to get 50 done just on my part of the deal, I got to do at least 10 per day, and gee, I got to do 5 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. So all these strategies. In your ministries, I see the bulletin board out there. There's a lot of things, a lot of people that you support. What do those guys need? Well, in your jobs where you work, as you're ministering, being light by proclaiming the gospel or by living your life before them, what do you need to strategize? I'm not saying it's not good. It's not beneficial to think things through. But we've got Jesus. God, do stuff. So Mary talks about her son. Is it right? Your son who has a friend that died. What do those guys need? If you go to counseling these days, secular counseling, they'll say what you need is to be on the right meds so you can calm down and not be so anxious. Well, maybe temporarily. Maybe. I'm not going to say one way or the other, but what do they need? They need the same thing that you and I need for our life as well as for our ministry. And that's what I missed. That's what I missed. That's what Philip missed. We've got Jesus here. Jesus can just do it. I can't imagine them seeing 5,000, maybe 10 if they're married, maybe another 5,000 if they're bringing any kids along, if there's other single. There could be. It's like filling up half of the Lobo Stadium. There's a lot of people that are fed just because Jesus is wandering around feeding people. So that's the big thing. So that's what happened in verse 13. As it says, note this. So they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And then it says, and when the people saw the sign of what he'd done, this indeed is the prophet. He not only filled up the baskets, but there was what? There was stuff left over. We not only have been able to be part of a team to fit wheelchairs, what do you think people with disabilities need in Peru? Pardon? The gospel. They need the gospel. They need Jesus. It's the same thing that we need. It's the same thing that our family needs. And it's not so obvious, because a lot of times we can go to a church and we hear life principles or whatever, and we hear strategies, we hear this and that, but we miss Jesus if we don't have Jesus. But this church teaches we need Jesus. And to the point, Philip missed this because he's like the rest of us. It's like even as we go along, we see a big crushing need. That's the first thing that Mary's son needs, that our family members need. What did Jesus say later to complete the lesson? Often, for instance, like the parable of the sower, Jesus would say the parable and then he'd explain it later. Well, in chapter 6 here, after feeding of the 5,000, the disciples cross the lake, and then during the night, Jesus walks across the lake, big storm. But it's not really gone into much. It's mentioned, but it's not really mentioned much. But what is mentioned is he talks about the bread of life. He gave them bread to eat there. And I draw your attention to another place here. Verse 32, it says, Jesus then said, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And then if you jump down to 54, verse 50, whoever feeds on my flesh and my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last days. How confusing, shocking is that? Verse 6, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. And then in verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the brother, like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. It's as shocking and weird for them to hear that as it is for us. But what's the point? Abiding in Jesus, feasting on him, feeding on him. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, every hour, I need you to have a Sunday school class, to preach a sermon, to grace people with gracious words at a party this afternoon. People, Pastor Broersma, visiting people in the hospital. We need Jesus. We need to constantly not only feed on him, but extend the gospel to them as well, so that they too may have life. So how are we to live and do ministry? Whatever ministry you're in, it's not just Wheels for the World. It's not just fixing wheelchairs. It's not just feeding a bunch of people. But the bottom line is, today I want to convince you again that we need Jesus. Peter says we have everything we need for life and ministry. So with that in mind, I'd like to continue. For those that are not yet Christian, whether you're here or in Peru, the challenge here is, do we just need stuff to fix ourselves? We just need strategies? No. We need Jesus. So if you're not yet a Christian and you've been doing Christian stuff, but you don't know Jesus, that's it. Another brother said, well, the brother that started the class, we need to repent and believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. For the believers that are here today, in life, in ministry, in life for life, what do the people need in Peru and in Albuquerque? That's the whole goal. Johnny and friends will not go to another country. Peru's not the only place Wheels for the World is. It's like over 20 places around the world where fixed wheelchairs are sent over and delivered. But they won't go unless they can preach the gospel. They go to Cuba, or they say, we want to go to Cuba. And they say, well, you can't talk about Jesus. They say, well, we're not going to Cuba. And they say, okay. So they deliver wheelchairs, and they preach to local people there in Cuba. And that's just one of many places. So, Christian workers, all of us, I hope we can be encouraged. Don't forget, Jesus, I need you to communicate yourself through me. Jesus, I want to be clear on the gospel. And we have a great opportunity. As Pastor Boersma comes up, and he's Mr. Christmas, right? In his red shirt and his nice tie. Well, that's just a reminder. We have opportunity this time of year to maybe have conversations. Not pound people over the head with the gospel or with talking about Jesus. But as God allows a conversation to go your direction, don't just tell them about stuff. Tell them about Jesus. And by the way, I'm also talking to myself here. So it's not me and you, it's us. So let me tell you about Corazones Unidos. These are the folks we got to meet. They're the in-country partner. Here's Peru. We fly into Peru. Their ministry has a number of focus areas beyond suffering. They have a new course coming out, but we've been through the old one, which is a biblical approach to suffering. I thought when I became a Christian that, hey, now that I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have problems, right? I mean, Jesus forgave me for my sin. Well, no, he wants to make us more like himself through suffering. Wheels for the World, which is distribution of wheelchairs all over the world since 1994, I believe it was when that part of the ministry started. They last count, I think Mary told me, it was somewhere around 240,000 wheelchairs. We get thrown in the dumpster, these broken wheelchairs. They just get thrown away because we're a nation of sewers. If that chair breaks and Grandpa falls out of the chair, we got an opportunity for a retirement program if we win a lawsuit. So that's the problem, one of the problems. So what I'm going to ask for you all, Amy at the end here will pass out bookmarks. Got my name below there on the back. Call me if you see a broken, busted, even a new wheelchair that you're not using anymore, and we'll get it to the warehouse, and then an empty truck will that's going up toward Denver will drop it off at the women's prison in Springer, and they fix them like brand new. Then they get container shipped places. One of the trips, actually, our own New Mexico wheelchairs, we were actually using the same wheelchairs. But we get wheelchairs fixed from prisons. Last I heard, there's like another 20 or so prisons that fix wheelchairs. So, and it's a chain link of 100 people. So my neighbor gave me one the other day, and I said, he's not a believer, but I said, you know what? This is somebody in Peru's prayer is being answered now, even though they'll never know your name or my name, but it's a win-win, the best recycling program ever, instead of just throwing them in the dump. So we collect them also from one of the particular medical equipment places, because they're like, yeah, we can't spend time fixing these wheelchairs. We'll just buy them another one. Okay, give them to us. So they not only have Wheels for the World, Cause for Life is an intern program, North American interns. And by the way, we're American, and the South Americans, the Peruvians say, well, we're American. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We're North American. You're South American. So college interns that are physical or occupational therapists meet people here in Lima. And though they're actually unbelieving or non-Christian, a lot of them, but they're students as well. And Johnny and Friends manages all that to actually get people into the system to say, hey, use your gift, use your job, use your career. International family retreats, those are respites away from the hustle and bustle. They have abbreviated ones in Peru. It's hard to get away from work, but it may be 1 or 2 days. Here in New Mexico, we've had retreats, I don't know, we've had like 15 or so retreats down at Lone Tree Bible Camp near Capitan. There you go. All right, Johnny and Friends, regional hub. That Corazones Unidos, United Hearts, is goes all over South America here, starting the work. And out of, let me show you this. This is Elizabeth when she had just started her ministry in 1999. A few years later, maybe this might have been in early 2000s, Johnny was probably 50, and Elizabeth was probably 30 there. So they joined hands, and as it says that Corazones Unidos is modeled after Johnny and Friends. Elizabeth herself, you'll see in this film that we'll play here in a minute, Elizabeth herself is really, really gifted. Amy and I have been to 20 places maybe. Peru is a wonderful country, colorful music, heart, great people. So the ministry approach is to be involved with churches, ongoing, welcome them into the community, and then they come to Christ, but then they grow in Christ as they become a part of the community. We've seen how this has changed Grace Church, and now where we are now at Trinity at the Marketplace. They're a welcoming community as well, and it's different to have guys saying stuff in the middle of services, and they're part of the family. It's like, okay, people with disabilities saying stuff. It's okay. It's just part of the deal, and it changes how we think and operate because they're part of the church too. They may have a different part of understanding about Jesus and the gospel, but they sing and worship, and maybe they can usher. It's been a wonderful thing for us. So the sermon today will be on Luke 14, bringing the poor, the blind, the crippled, and the lame, being welcoming into the church community is what. This is the Lady Olenka. She operates the office in northern Peru. Elizabeth operates the one in central Lima there, and this is her assistant. This is the newest member of the staff, and Xiomara is part of a church ministry that has like 1,500 people at the church, and she and her family, her mom and her father and her two brothers run the children's ministry. She's really dynamic and great. And then Patty also lives in the same barrio as Xiaomi does, Xiomara, and it's 900,000 people in that barrio. They have roads and curbs and that kind of thing, but busy, but a lot of poor people. I would like to now turn your attention to, let's keep going. What's the impact? Beyond Suffering, they've trained over 7,000 pastors. They've exposed the ministry to over 600 churches. During the Wheels for the World distribution, there's like 12,000 people were given wheelchairs in the last 20 years or so. 18,000 family members have been impacted. There's at least 7,500 people that have come to Christ. I don't know any other ministry that gives the gospel one-to-one hundreds of times through these events. Now, family retreat, same kind of thing, more decisions for Christ. I would say all these numbers, God knows. But like the feeding of the 5,000, yeah, there's a bunch. It's a lot of people. But effort from North Americans joining the Peruvians Jesus has made a big impact in the country. So a lot of towns all over Peru, prayer support. We have things on the bookmarks that I want Amy to pass out here in a minute. But Corazones Unidos has regional impact and say, here's what Jesus is doing and how he's done it. Would you like to be involved in this in Ecuador, in Argentina, in Venezuela? Amy and I took a trip to Venezuela to help those folks 10 years ago. So they proclaim the gospel. They teach people to include them in the people with disabilities in the church, and open us to the Luke 14 mandate. And that's also encouragement. It's a lot of work. It's hard work. Ask Mary what it's like in New Mexico. It's hard work. It's good work. It's hard work. And they also need financial support. That's not why we're here. So here, let's see if this, how do you start this thing? Try that one. Oh, go back. Go back. Nope, that's the next film. Nope, wrong one. I hit the wrong. Yeah. I maintain that technology is really great if it works. So I just hit, what I want to do is I want to see the movie at the end of that first PowerPoint. So it might have to load up. Any questions so far? Pastor Broersma.
I was just curious if you had any stories of particular incidents that you recall from previous experiences about dealing with particular people, anything
come to mind? You know, I said it's changed our heart. I'll tell you one. While Nate is trying to get me back to the right video there. So we clean office buildings. It's like when you graduate from high school, you say, yeah, I'm going to be a janitor. Well, that's what I ended up when Amy and I got married. I was working for a guy, actually before we got married, and he said, well, I'm leaving to go be a youth pastor. Do you want the account? I'm like, and then I hear this voice say, well, yeah, I'll help you. And that's Amy. So she knew what she was getting into. So here we go. We know cleaning. We know if they didn't make a mess, we wouldn't have a job. So we're over there, and I cannot remember where it was. It might have been in San Juan de Lurigancho, an outside area. And here's this older guy suffering in pain. Clothes are a mess. Smells like urine. Ratty clothes kind of thing. And I leaned over to help pick him up because we're going to put a hard seat underneath. And he smelled like urine. And I thought, why do I get the opportunity to be here with this human being right here and right now in this work? Hopefully this guy will come to Christ. And so I just broke. You know, it's like, oh, the urine, that didn't bother me. So that's one. Another one similar. That might be it. Pardon? Okay. All right. Where's Mike? Mike has a question, I'm sure.
so are these...
Yate hey. Oh.
Yate hey. Is there some welding done on these wheelchairs?
Say it again?
Are there some welding done?
You know, mostly they're already fixed, but in our large bank of photos, we do have a photograph. It was the weirdest thing. You work with what they give you, what's over there. But in Wanaco, we had these tripod wheelchairs. They're weird. And that's all we got. And so you got two wheels here, and the third wheel came out to get somebody over that first one. You could break your neck and need a wheelchair. So we would lift guys up and put them in here. Well, a couple of guys from the local area, maybe the third day, showed up with a welder in their mask, and they cut that. It took all day to do one, but they cut that thing down and made it into a viable wheelchair. But other than that, what we end up doing is drilling and lots of screws, adjusting the leg lifts for the right size. Because when you sit down, you want your legs at a right angle, at a 90-degree angle. You don't want them way up. There we go. Here it comes. So here we go.
I have a story for you.
I think we're almost ready. Okay, go ahead and click that. Down at the lower left, there's an on button, arrow button. You're trying to get it over here? We could all turn around. Yeah, go ahead. Amy's going to hand out the bookmarks there. I think under slideshow, if you hit it from the current slide, there you go. And then bring your arrow down to the bottom. Oh, can you click that on? Can you click on the black screen? Well, we can just turn around and look at it behind you. Oh, there we go. It's in OneDrive, but not the... Yeah, does it even run at all? How about the H drive? Do you have the H drive there? That looks like it's a copy. There we go. There we go. All right. Come now. Yep. Good.
Thank you.
This guy's from Venezuela.
Thank you. Gracias.
They're waving to you guys. They'll never meet you. Okay, now, there we go. This is northern Peru, where Amy and I were a couple of years ago. You'll see Amy in there. That's the pastor. The kids' school attached to the church. Pastor up there.
Quiero entender por qué a mí, si no soy digno de ser tu hija, quisiera comprender por qué a mí, soy pecador, sin nada que dar, eso es amor, sin fin, eso es amor, asombroso, eso es amor.
Another mechanic from New York, actually, I think. There's the pastor. Proclamation of the gospel. Everybody hears the gospel. She's a little suspect. Another pastor. Physical therapist. We pray before we start and when we finish fitting someone. The great guy that was the seamstress. Food's been awesome.
aquí estás mostrando bondad y misericordia. Soy tan difícil de amar y aquí estás mostrando tu amor sin nada en regreso. Difícil de amar y
a counselor shares the gospel. That's a pastor. He came right from the hospital. Pastor Darwin. North American team in blue and the Peruvian team in white. So it's that's it. So thank you very much. Let me pray as we finish. Father, we thank you that you are transforming the world. Right now we feel a lot of darkness. The news tells us how dark things are, but we know the Bible tells us that you're the light. Be the bread of life to each one of us in our lives and in our ministry. May we look to you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.